giving donors and follow-up of recipients. It stated also that establishing well-structured operational systems and promoting successful models in and between member states and at international level is of utmost importance. It suggested supporting reinforced cooperation between member states, in particular small member states with a limited donor pool could clearly benefit from European cooperation. In public awareness, it stressed that a very effective way of increasing organ availability is to provide more information to the public. And we propose establishing a transplant hotline with a single telephone number managed by a national transplantation organization and manned 24 hours a day, which could rapidly provide relevant and accurate information. The European Parliament also called for a European donor card, which is going to be complementary to existing national systems. Now, with respect to organ trafficking, after the EP resolution, the Commission committed itself to closely monitor any developments in the organ trafficking field in the EU and to continue participating together with other international organizations, such as the Council of Europe or the WHO, combating organ trafficking. To take into consideration also organ trafficking in the action plan and to consider the possibility of revising EU legislation on trafficking against human beings. In this framework, trafficking for the purpose of the removal of organs could be included in the definition in accordance with the UN Protocol and the Council of Europe Convention on Trafficking. Following the European Parliament resolution and the Council, conclusions on the issue, the Commission in December 2008 adopted a proposal for a directive on quality and safety of human organs intended for transplantation and an action plan to strengthen cooperation between member states for the period 2009-2015. To avoid getting into technical discussions of these two initiatives, I would simply focus on organ trafficking. It is clear that the Commission has taken seriously the comments we made and our concerns in our report in the Parliament. And so you will see more precisely that their proposed directive clearly recognized that one of the potential consequences of the scarcity of organs is the trafficking of human organs by organized criminal groups, which was very well presented by the previous speaker, and very well. So trafficking in human organs can be linked with trafficking in human beings for the purpose of the removal of organs, which constitutes a serious violation of fundamental rights, and in particular of human dignity and physical integrity. The proposed directive recognizes that the best way of fighting organ trafficking, of course, is increasing the number of available organs. Everybody knows this. And secure their quality and safety. The problem is how do you solve this problem and not how to increase it. We know this. So this future directive, although having as its first objective the safety and quality of organs, will indirectly contribute to combating organ trafficking through the establishment of competent authorities, the authorization of transplantation centers, the establishment of conditions of procurement and systems of traceability. At the same time, the action plan urges member states to establish EU-wide agreements on monitoring the extent of organ trafficking in Europe, to have data and not to have answers like the one we receive from Europol. There are no evidence for this issue. So the Commission points out that given the lack of investigative information on the issue, such agreements will help member states through active collaboration and exchange of information to examine and at a later stage find the best ways of monitoring organ trafficking. At the same time, the Commission continues to commit itself to working together with other international organizations such as the Council of Europe and WHO. The Declaration of Istanbul on Organ Trafficking and Transplant Tourism aims at putting an end to the unlawful practices of trafficking and to foster safe and accountable practices that meet the needs of transplant recipients while protecting donors. An essential first step in combating such activities is to describe them precisely. The Declaration clearly defines organ trafficking, transplant commercialism, and transplant tourism. The Declaration also proposes policies and principles of practice on the basis of the definitions. Organ trafficking and transplant tourism violate the principle of equity, justice, and respect for human dignity and should be prohibited. To be effective, these prohibitions must include bans on all types of advertising, like electronic and print, soliciting or brokering for the purpose of transplant commercialism. The implication of the declaration, of the declaration's definitions, principles, and recommendations are profound. The declaration strengthens the determination of governments and international organizations to develop laws, rules, and procedures to bring an end to wrongful practices. What is very clear is that the current initiatives of the Commission reflect and are influenced by the Istanbul Declaration, but as you heard before, with not great satisfaction. I can already see strong impact stemming from the European Parliament resolution and the Istanbul Declaration. More precisely, I was informed, and this is very important, that the JLC, which is the Directorate General for Justice, Liberty, and Home Affairs of the Commission, is currently revising its framework decision on trafficking of human beings. They have this time included organ trafficking as one of the offenses covered by this framework decision. Organ trafficking will therefore become a criminal offense across Europe. And second, in 2008, the Council of Europe and the United Nations agreed to prepare to a joint study of trafficking that we saw recently, their declaration in October 13. And I will not comment anymore on this. And I would like to conclude by mentioning the Lisbon Treaty. The Lisbon Treaty raises the protection of the rights of Europe's citizens to a new level, makes the Charter of Fundamental Rights legally binding on the EU institutions and on the member states when they are implementing EU law. The Charter sets out the rights enjoyed by EU citizens. It draws inspiration from the EU treaties, from the European Convention on Human Rights, the Social Charters of the EU and the Council of Europe, and the constitutional traditions and international obligations common to member states. The Lisbon Treaty will also allow the EU to accede to the European Convention on Human Rights, the European Human Rights Convention, and the European Court of Human Rights, which oversees these, are the foundation stones of human rights protection in Europe. And in particular, Article 3, titled Right to the Integrity of the Person, stipulates everyone has the right of respect for his or her physical and mental integrity. And in the field of medicine and biology, the following must be respected in particular. The prohibition on making the human body and its parts as such a source of financial gain. As you can imagine, this will have significant implications for organ trafficking in Europe. But we should not only see Europe. The problem is not only European. The problem is global. And the problem is raising up because of the exploitation of poor people, that they want to sell their organs to feed their family. I saw one sentence there of a mother saying that I will send one lung, I will sell one kidney, I will send one, sell one cornea to feed my children. So another issue we have to see, maybe the rich countries of the world, they come down and help the developing countries for the people not to be so poor. I'm saying now one solution. And from the other hand, the increasing of the donor pool. How are we going to increase the donor pool? Public awareness is enough. Maybe we can advocate for the presumed concept. So by increasing the pool, we eliminate the trafficking. But if you, and from the other hand, can you accuse one patient that suffered from renal failure that he's going in his pain because he saw an advertisement to take a kidney to live? Who are you going to accuse? The patient, the donor that is advertising his kidney? Or when we come back and we're asking about registers for recipients and for donors, because the guy, the sick person who is going to Pakistan or Israel to have a kidney, when he's coming back, he needs follow-up. So this follow-up must be done by doctors' hospitals. And they're going to ask, where do you receive the kidney? What's the answer? Is the patient going to say that I took and I pay for this? So I'm mentioning all this to show that it's a very complicated problem. It's not only one reason. There are many reasons. And if we want to really tackle the problem, we have to be, first of all, if you ask me, more sensitive to see the needs from the one side, the reason, and from the other side. I don't want to talk too much. I can respond to questions. I want to remind you that here is Ms. Pavlou, who is now, he was my assistant in the parliament, but now is the person responsible for the new coming directive. And she can answer any questions because I'm not anymore MEP. I'm not anymore. I mean about the future directive, I'm not there anymore, so I don't know what's happening from now on. Thank you very much.